Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals Podcast. I'm your host, Harley. Joining me today to talk about animation is John Stratman. John specializes in 16-bit or 8-bit animation, basically the kind of animation that you would get in old video games or arcade games. John's been able to take this concept and use it to amazing effect, reimagining movie trailers, scenes from films like The Avengers and Star Wars, and even adapting comic books. His work can be found on YouTube with his own channel, as well as collaboration with several big names in YouTube. But before you go and check out any of the work, please enjoy this conversation with John, discussing the process, his own sort of personal journey with it, and so much more. So, without further ado, let's get to the conversation. This is Animation with John Stratman. So, hello, John, and welcome to the Fundamentals Podcast.
It's great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on, man. Appreciate you're a very busy guy with a lot on your schedule. So, when I reached out to you, as I said before we were talking, I reached out to you because, for anyone who doesn't know, you have an amazing YouTube channel and you do this amazing thing with animation. Specifically, you like to go with a sort of 16-bit animation, kind of like a retro gaming thing. And it's brilliant. And obviously, I'll link your channel and people can check it out. So I just wanted to really pick your brains on it. I'd love to know, how did you get started with animation? Did you study something at school or at college and just sort of follow it up from there?
Well, I was in high school it's almost 10 years ago. I was in a history class and like you're supposed to, one of the semester end projects was to make a sort of almost like biopic of some historical figure. And I don't know, there was, I told my plan with my partners was to, let's make a prequel to The Patriot.
Oh, okay.
And so we're like, yeah, let's do that. And then the more we looked into it, you know, the main guy from The Patriot is not a real guy, and the events he talks about never happened. So right. We just pivoted to making it about Francis Marion. I wanted to make it animated because, like a typical like high school video project, I wanted it to be way more impressive than that. So I just took the music from Medal of Honor, and that was like my first ever animated thing. I guess like in the digital space, I did like monkey around with stop motion animation when I was younger, but. Like, that's kind of where it started. And then, like a couple years after that, I was, I had, like, this original, like, superhero concept. And I tried making it the same way I made the high school project, but it was, I had the backgrounds, like the actual, I would actually go places and film those backgrounds, and then I would insert the cartoon characters in those backgrounds later. And like, I was getting like really, really into it, and I was so excited about it that I wanted to split it up into episodes just so I can get it out there so that people can see it. And then I got to episode 3, and then my hard drive died.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, and then, like, for a while, I was just, like, not really making any videos of any kind, and then, like, the first trailers for The Force Awakens were coming out, and I was so excited I wanted to kind of harness that hype into, like, making something. So, that was the first 8-bit trailer. And to that point, I thought, like, pixel art, you know, I had never done it before. Seems easy enough. So yeah, that was the first one, and like I borrowed a ton of assets from like the Super Nintendo, not the Super Nintendo, the original Nintendo Entertainment System, Star Wars games, and I just, yeah, like that, like after that point on, things became more uniform, but that first one was like a very, very much like a patchwork of different, like the characters are not a consistent size, and like at some point I didn't know how to scale it, so they're like, they're pretty blurry. And after that, I went straight into a trailer remake for Captain America Civil War, because, you know, the Star Wars one did well, so I finished Captain America Civil War, and mm-hmm. I put that out on my channel, and I had a friend who worked for Joblo.com.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I asked him if they would be interested in something like that, and I think it was a couple months later where I was told that they wanted to pick me up as like a monthly series. So I was with them for about 2.5 years, and I don't know how many episodes of 8-Bit Trailers there were, but I think it might have been 27. So that was, yeah, that was quite a lot. I think like shortly after I started with Joblo, then I made, well, there was an episode, there was a Justice League trailer for 8-Bit Trailers, and I included a Weekly Planet Easter egg because they've got all the great inside jokes like Mullet for Superman, Batman sucks, yeah. I love rap, yeah. that kind of stuff. So when I put I put that in some graffiti in Flash's lair, and shortly after that came out, James reached out to me.
Awesome.
And I did a couple of graphics for the video game episodes of Caravan of Garbage. Those are like the first things I did for him.
That's brilliant, man. That makes a lot of sense, actually, yeah, because that's the first time I think we saw something on his channel doing that.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think he was doing, like, shortly after Rogue One came out, he was doing, like, a concept art rejected concepts from Rogue One, and he wanted me to do the Darth Vader scene to include in that, and then due to popular demand, people wanted that video on its own. So that was the first 16-bit scene. And for a while, I was doing 8-bit trailers and 16-bit scenes at the same time, which, thinking back, like, and I was also doing academic stuff at the same time. So
oh, right.
It
what
was,
were you doing?
Oh, just, you know, like, studying, like, animation. And so, like, I had, like, just getting certified, you know, learning. It was mostly Adobe Suite stuff.
Ah, okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah, so for a while I was doing that. And, like, 16-bit scenes were not as, like, consistently being put out as 8-bit trailers. But I have no idea how I pulled that off.
A lot of sleepless nights, I'm imagining.
Yeah. But at a certain point, I thought that that Joblo wasn't a great home for 8-bit trailers, because they're like the kind of channel they have is like a daily upload thing, and a lot of them are top tens and other content that's easier and quicker to put out, and so I felt like it was diminishing returns on them, and I was doing some trailers for movies that I felt pretty meh about. So, yeah, and after that, I've just kind of been, like, I'll sometimes do a trailer on my channel occasionally, and if there's, like, a big scene in, like, a movie that came out, I'll sometimes I'll pitch James a 16-bit scene. But yeah, it's like pixel art isn't something that I set out to do. It's something that I kind of fell into because people responded to it well. And yeah, like my software is like right now, my process for creating them is completely different from what it was when I started. Like when I started, I wasn't even using After Effects. It was this freeware program called Wax 2.0 that wasn't updated since like 2006. So woof. Yeah, that's yeah, I don't it had some functionality, but it wasn't quite like I can't imagine doing it without Adobe After Effects because it's just
It just makes your life a lot easier. Well, that's fair enough. I'm curious that because you hit on something just a minute ago, that you're absolutely right. There is something about this sort of 8-bit trailers, 16-bit videos that people respond to me, like myself, for example. I couldn't figure out why. I was watching them today. I think, I don't know what it is. It's just something about this that's just so brilliant. And do you think it's like, I guess like people that have a sort of a fondness, a nostalgia for video games or things like that, it just kind of taps into that sort of childhood memory kind of thing.
Yeah, well, there's something about the visual style and the sounds of like previous game consoles. I'm definitely not the first to do it. There was a series on Cinefix called 8-Bit Cinema, and What I did basically was take two Cinefix shows, their homemade movies, one where they did trailer remakes, and 8-Bit Cinema, and just mash them together. That was pretty much where that concept came from. Sometimes I feel a little guilty because it's because I'm doing all this art, and I'm doing all this animation. But it's always remaking stuff that I already know that people will like. So I've thought about, I've started outlining an original thing. But it's like, I always end up overcomplicating things and making them way more ambitious than they should be.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. And I guess as you go as well, you've probably developed, as you say, you know, you're updating softwares and tools. I can imagine you're just constantly learning more things. You go, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I did this and use this and this? And then, as you say, what could probably be your original idea just grows. I'm curious, is that sort of off the back of your original series? Because I was on your channel today and I found that older, I think you called it your cancelled web series. Was that the one where you said you filmed backgrounds? And because I thought that was really cool. I was watching it and I just thought, such a really interesting style. Is it sort of a continuation from that storyline?
It's kind of a reboot, because I can't imagine continuing from where I left off on that, because I was planning on introducing organized crime, which is something that I have no idea about and definitely should not have gone there. So I'm kind of glad that happened, but
right,
I don't know. If I do end up making that, I see, like, because pixel art is what I'm known for now, I don't know if I would make that with pixel art characters or if I would make it in a more traditional drawn style. And I'm definitely not that confident in my drawing abilities at this point to definitely go, yeah. Because one great safety net of pixel art is it's got a built-in unit of measurement, and if you want something to move slowly, there's no guessing like how far do I move this. You can just go, oh, I just move it one pixel. You know, it definitely feels more risky doing something like completely original and completely on my own. But I've been extremely fortunate to have good collaborators. Usually when it comes to music, I think it was the second 8-bit trailer. No, it was the third 8-bit. No, the third 16-bit scene.
Okay.
It was the fight in Snoke's throne room from The Last Jedi, and
yes, I remember. Yep.
I really liked the music in that scene, and I wanted it to be as close as possible. But then I was also doing all this complex choreography. So that's where we got Kenny Mack to do the music for that. And I think it turned out really, really well. And then he did the music for most of the 16-bit scenes from that point forward. And then at a certain point, I think it was for the last like two or three 8-bit trailers where I was getting really overwhelmed, because I used to do the music for those myself, but I talked to the Jobola people, and they brought in, I talked to them about bringing Kenny in, and Amina Kamel, she scored the Vader Down two-part comic adaptation, and she also did the score for the Rise of Skywalker trailer remake. So yeah, she's been great. And then Alex Mott did... I originally reached out to him to do the music for the other comic adaptation that I've got in the works. But with... I ended up pivoting to do two trailer remakes in a row for the upcoming DC movies, and so he did the music for those. So yeah, every composer that I work with, I end up like developing like a really good friendship with, which is nice. So yeah, I feel really lucky to, you know, have people like that.
Yeah, and am I right in thinking that's something that kind of keeps you going? Because it sounds like it's a pretty full-on kind of job to take on. There's a lot of spinning plates, imagine it sometimes it might feel quite overwhelming, so it must be nice to have that community you can kind of bounce off, and people you can share ideas with, so you don't feel like it's too much.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. The comic adaptation I'm working on is a Star Trek project,
and oh cool,
I recently just like put out a thing on Twitter saying, hey, I'm looking for voices for this, because this is like, as I was reading through the script, I just thought, you know, there's no way that could work with the typical subtitles.
Okay.
It would be better with voice acting, and just listening to some of the clips people are sending me, it's just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the reasons that I got into animation was it was... like it was something you could do completely yourself. You don't have to mess with like a camera or lighting or whatever. It's basically making an entire movie in post. So like in a sense, I went to animation to get away from people, and then now I'm bringing in people.
Right. Yeah. It all comes full circle in a weird way.
Yeah.
I like that though. So I'm guessing then you've always had a passion for movies then and stuff, and as you say, you obviously looked at that when you were in school, and then sort of growing up, this is what's drawn you towards animation. So I'm just thinking, you said, you mentioned Star Wars, Star Trek, you've done stuff for DC, done stuff for Marvel, so I'm guessing that's something that's always been there in the back of your mind then, just the general, like
the DC and Marvel, like it's all unsanctioned. Yeah. It's not official, you know. Well, with you know, I've always kind of liked superheroes. I never was the biggest, like the most well versed in all of it. I remember when I was little, I looked at this encyclopedia of superheroes, and I was reading through it and thought, why do we always just get movies about Batman and Superman and Spider-Man? Why aren't there more superhero movies about more superheroes? And it's like, and then the monkey's paw finger curled, and then that's all we ever get now. I don't know. I did a lot of Marvel stuff because, you know, Marvel is pretty much the most popular thing right now. But yeah, I think one of the first things that made me fall in love with visual storytelling and just like movement was Wallace and Gromit and all all of the Aardman stop motion animated movies, because it's and that made me want to I think when I was about 11 I had been watching the original King Kong a whole bunch, and then remade King Kong, but with a pipe cleaner spider, and instead of New York it was Chicago, but I still used stock photos I found on the laptop of New York. I don't know. It was, you know, kid's first movie, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really cool, because I'd say, man, I think if I was 11 years old, I wouldn't have tried anything that ambitious. So I think that's, you've obviously got that drive in you. And yeah, something like Aardman, for example, I mean, over here in the UK, it's a national treasure. You know, anything Wallace and Gromit, and we lap it up. But there is something really, I think, really simple and just nice and impressive about that kind of stuff, because it takes a tremendous amount of patience. So how did you find that little project then, 11 years old, just having to move the thing a tiny bit and then move it a tiny bit? Well, did that sort of put you off? Or
I didn't really have like a... I think my first ones, I might have done like this actually really kind of impressive like liquid sloshing type of animation with like a toy pickup truck and a bit of clay that would be the liquid, but it'll never be seen by anybody because it was I had no playback method, so I just had it on this digital camera and I would just push on the arrow really fast to go through the frames to see it move. Yeah, I think I got out of stop motion because it was, I don't know, it might have been the thought of just having to build everything. And then, like, in the back of your mind, you've always got that that Aardman standard. And it's like, I don't have production quality that's nearly as good. and it might have been another thing I don't like about live action is, like, when lighting looks good, it's amazing. But setting it up, it's, like, you have to have the most patience. So, yeah, I guess making movies has always been, you know, the pipe dream.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, I think you've got to try your hand at a few different styles, I guess, to figure out what works for you. And then, as you said, it's sort of really a fortunate thing that you've stumbled across, where there is this love people have out there, an audience for the kind of gaming styles. So, because I noticed when I was watching back over today, the Endgame one in particular, which, again, I'm going to link it in the description because I think people need to see it. It's incredible, the work that was done on that. And you mentioned
Which one? The part one or part two?
Both. I think both back to back are just incredible. And you put like a little, you know, James obviously let you put a little sting at the end, sort of explaining a bit about how you do it, and I was really impressed because it looked like you did your research, like you'd gone back for all these older games and you were trying to deliberately pick on a style or sort of a different characters, because obviously anyone who's read a comic or looked at cartoons or games over the years sees the characters go through all sorts of interesting looks, shall we say. So there's obviously a lot of research that you must do then, sort of going back, and again I would assume that you'd need to have some kind of love for it, otherwise it would just be incredibly tedious and you'd just go, "Oh, this will do, this looks close enough to the character, I'm not going to worry about it."
Well, with the research, I think I'm a little bit annoyed every time I see like a pixel animation or a pixel art character and they just look like Mega Man. I haven't played much Mega Man, so I guess, but like, you know, if you're making something with a character that has a history in games and you're not using that history, I think that's a really big missed opportunity, because like with a lot of my videos, I'm trying to push every nostalgia button.
Yeah.
I'll rip sound effects from these games that like to me, like I'm just using them as sound effects, but like the where they're from matters, because if somebody hears that, it might take them back to playing the game that I'm basing it on. And it might be just some, you know, or maybe it doesn't even work on people, but you know, I think it's great to, you know, take these elements of this thing that are just collecting dust, that are, you know, not necessarily forgotten, but, you know, just they're old, and taking them and putting them into this new
thing.
So
I'm curious, like, when it comes to picking scenes, because you've mentioned a few already, like, obviously, the Avengers ones you've picked on, and then there's the Star Wars, as you say, like, you've got Rogue One, you've got the throne room scene from The Last Jedi and stuff like that. How do you sort of pick a scene from a film to animate then? Is it what kind of stands out to you when you're looking at it? Is there anything you look for in sort of terms of, I guess, storytelling, or just what's the most visually interesting scene to have a go at?
I guess visually interesting is probably why, although I do remember that for Black Panther, we had talked about doing maybe like the final battle. But I think at that point, I was just way too intimidated by all of the characters, which in retrospect, after doing Endgame, is just silly.
No, not at all. I mean, I think what you picked on, actually, the Black Panther one, I think is brilliant. That's one of my favorite ones, because it has like a real Street Fighter kind of vibe to it. And you picked on a really intense scene to use. But yeah, obviously, as you say, you built yourself up to Endgame. And again, I highly recommend people go and check that out, because I think when it was announced that you were doing it, I thought, oh, fair play. How's he going to make his way through that absolute minefield of characters? But I think you handled that really well. You obviously just broke it down and just thought, I'm going to follow the gauntlet and follow the characters and just not worry too much about the millions of non-characters in the background doing all their bits and bobs.
Yeah, it's like when I actually got into it, it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because with just all the fighting in the background, I animated just a loop of characters jumping over each other and stuff like that. So I just created a 30-second loop and just inserted it every time I needed stuff happening. And, you know, people don't notice. Sometimes I think about, if I'd classify myself as a YouTuber, because it's like just looking at all the other people who are like YouTubers and just the rate at which they put stuff out, that makes me just almost freak out, because it's just like, but you know, doing stuff on another channel, and a channel that whose other content I actually like to watch regularly. I really like that.
No, I think I get what you're saying with YouTube. I don't have a channel myself, but just listening to people like Mr. Sunday Movies and various other people, they all, that's one of the things they complain about, is, you know, or complain in sort of inverted commas, is that, you know, as you say, you have to put out a certain amount because of algorithms. And but then at the same time, from what I gather, I think there is something to be said for building an audience based on good quality work. And if someone like yourself, who's clearly putting a lot of time and effort and love into your projects, there's always going to be an audience for that, I think. But it may just take longer to build. But does that sort of thing kind of worry you or affect your work at any point? Have you ever found yourself thinking, maybe I should take some shortcuts and pump more stuff out? Or do you sort of hit the brakes and go, no, I'm not enjoying this, I'd rather concentrate on this project instead?
Well, I think I was thinking about doing monthly trailer remakes again, But then I just realized that I would be delaying the Star Trek project I've been wanting to make forever. So I don't know. It's difficult to balance, like, the stuff that you know is going to get attention and you know is going to, you know, play well for the viewers, and the stuff that you're passionate about. It's like not that the making trailer remakes is stuff something I don't care about, because I do. I like the process for that, but I've been thinking about, you know, just shopping myself around to like some video conglomerate, but then I'm a little bit worried that I would have the Joe Blow problem again, where, you know, my stuff just gets buried. But I think as long as they're not a one upload a day channel, then I should be okay. But I suppose, like, another question is, like, who would I go to?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have anyone with your sort of you've set your eyes on? Because you've already reached some pretty big accounts already, just looking at your sort of resume, so to speak, online.
Well, I did apply for a job at Polygon, but somebody else got that. I don't know. I guess my skill set is completely different than what they would want. It's like, you want a video editor? Here, have all this. Because I know that, like, channels like Screen Junkies and Cinefix, like, they're part of what made me realize that there's an audience for movie-based content.
Right.
So, like, if they reached out, I'd definitely, you know, consider it. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm in a very weird place right now where I'm doing all these projects, but I'm not sure where I'm going to take it. I don't know if I would make a game if as long as somebody else was doing the coding, I would be fine with working on a game. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, following that thread, because actually that's a really good point. So, as you say, and I'd imagine it is a bit of a different process, because as you say, you've got coding and a different kind of format. But yeah, what kind of game would you like to design? And let's say a company, I'm thinking off the top of my head, a video game company that isn't terrible, but I think the reputation isn't good for a lot of game companies right now. But let's just say an indie came up to you and said, hey, we love what you do. Can you design a game for us? Like, what would you kind of go for?
I like platformers, and I like Streets of Rage type, like, beat 'em ups.
Yeah.
What would really be interesting is to work on, like, a sort of Doom like game where it's 2D characters in a 3D space. I think that'd be really interesting.
Okay.
I really don't know. I think I have my life planned out only 2 months in advance.
Right. Okay. I think that's probably the best way to be, truthfully, given the world we live in. You don't want to plan too far ahead. But, no, that's really... I like that, man. Have you ever animated with 2D on 3D, actually? Have you done anything like that before?
I've snuck a few Mode 7-esque sequences into trailers. And, I did include one in the Rise of Skywalker 16-bit scene.
Oh, okay. You have to remind me, which part was that? Because I think I was watching that one earlier.
It was where they're fighting all the Superstar Destroyers, and then everybody shows up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, that looks spectacular. So, well done. That's awesome. It's absolutely brilliant. Do you ever sort of get frustrated with the process at any point? Is you only sort of do it, or is it one of those things where just the more you go, the more practice you have, the quicker you get at it, and you sort of build off the back of that, so it's not as slow or frustrating?
Well, you know, you figure out shortcuts over time. I don't get frustrated at the process. I get frustrated at myself most of the time. I don't know. It's a lot of it's just, you know, like what's next, you know, and that might be a little too heavy, but
no, it's okay. You can go wherever you want in this.
I don't know. I think a lot of frustration might come from there was a time where I was really self-conscious from like pulling from like existing games and like, oh no, are people going to think I'm a hack that I'm just reusing other people's work? And so like ever since then I have been pivoting to try to make everything original. Like even if the animation is based on an existing thing, that the character design is completely new.
Well, I guess that's something to be said. I mean, you want to, I guess, have your own, I don't know, integrity is maybe the word, or you want to do things for yourself. I think that's great. I mean, if any consolation, I wouldn't notice if you rip from a game. You know, I definitely see the styles and the things that you go for, and I think that's amazing. So anything in between, I mean, who cares? I think as long as you're doing it, and at least you're putting something out there, John. You know, I have way more respect for people like you that actually try and do stuff. It's easier to be a troll in the comments, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh well, the biggest thing that I remember from Joblo was it was called 8-bit trailers, but most of the time I would go to 16-bit just because it looks better.
Okay.
And
yeah, sharper image. Yeah.
Then all the comments were it's 16-bit. Oh jeez.
That's amazing.
I really hate comments that are like, I think you should have done this a different way. If it were me, I would have gone into a close up instead of just leaving. And it's just like, why didn't you do it? You know, it's.
Yeah. I know, man. But I guess that if, like you said, going back to if you're going to be on YouTube, you're going to be a YouTuber. You just have to get a bit of a thick skin and just kind of get used to people with completely pointless comments.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree with you, man. That's my attitude. It's like, okay, start your own channel. See you later.
Or
let me know how it goes.
People leaving their critiques of the movie under this remake. It's like, oh.
Yeah. I know. One of my favorite things, so anyone who's not heard The Weekly Planet, but I kind of like how they lean into it. They'll do that hate mail thing every now and then. It just, I think you've got to be able to laugh, haven't you? You've got to be able to laugh at some people's stupidity. So again, it's any consolation, who cares? 16-bit, 8-bit, whatever. It's all amazing. And I think the fact that you actually, yeah, again, do something that you love and give it the time and put it out there is very commendable. I mean, did that take a long time for you to go into that? To make that leap? Because I know it's easy for a lot of us to sit at home and work on these things that we like, but it is another step to then kind of publish or put it out into the ether. So did that take a little bit of time for you then to kind of hit that button and just think, oh, I'm just going to go for it and just put this out there?
I think not really. There, like, I think after losing Sam Young Origins, which was my original series, after losing that, I think it was just finding something that I wanted to make. I think that was the biggest hurdle to get over, which Star Wars solved. I don't think I've ever been embarrassed for anything I've put out. It's as long as, you know, I know the work that went into it, and I'm confident in what I put out, then yeah, I don't think it's too big of a deal.
Well, is there any advice you'd give to somebody who's perhaps listening to this and, you know, is going down a similar path and is a bit hesitant about putting it out or sharing their work? Is there anything you would say to somebody in that position? Or perhaps even just to your younger self, really?
If you're trying to find something, if you see like an art form like online that you see other people doing and you think could be better, then go and do it better. Because I think that's kind of what I did. That's what, not to say I'm better than other people doing the same thing, but I remember looking at a lot of pixel art animated videos and just thinking that they're not sticking with the limitations of the classic games, because it's like so many people when making 8-bit or 16-bit videos, they just make a blocky thing and add chiptunes and boom, you're done. And, you know, to me, it's not that simple, because you have to think about why these games sounded the way they did and why they looked the way they did. It was because of technical limitations. And so it's like, for me, it's like finding a way to give yourself similar limitations. That's the approach that I've kind of honed over time. That probably went way off from the original question, but that's...
No, it's fine. Honestly, you take it where you want to. And you've kind of led me into something I'm interested in. You just said there that about limitations. So do you find in giving yourself those limitations, then it kind of forces you to be a bit more creative, or perhaps be a bit more disciplined, I guess, in what you're putting out, so not to like cut corners, perhaps as you see other content providers doing.
One thing that I've seen a lot of people do is just add little smaller extra pixels to the thing to add extra detail, and that's one thing I've tried not to do. And that kind of forces you to think about each pixel you're putting down, because every pixel counts. Every pixel is a detail. And it would be so easy to just cheat and do an extra, make that bit a little bit sharper. But I guess that's all I have to say about that.
No, that's totally fine. So you're working on Star Trek, and you're bringing in voice cast, which is going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Is there anything else on the horizon for you? I know movie trailers are a bit of a stagnant thing at the minute because we don't know when movies are coming out. Yeah. But, you know, but is there anything like that you've kind of got on the horizon?
I'm working on something, but I signed an NDA, so I can't say anything about it.
Oh. Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to hitting the ground running on that, and hopefully making something that I'm proud of. Other than Star Trek, for Star Trek, I might try resurrecting that original thing again, unless maybe some trailer comes out, then I'll probably switch to that. I have thought about doing a 16-bit scene of that Luke hallway scene from The Mandalorian, but I'm way too busy with other stuff to think about that right now. Or another idea I had for something would be to just do a Mandalorian recap. Just show him going from place to place, quickly represent each fight scene and stuff like that. I think that might be good for later, sort of the story so far. But one problem I have with pixel animated videos that just recap movies is it doesn't feel like a real speed run just because it's so fast.
Right.
But, yeah, who knows?
Oh, I think you've got some very exciting things on the horizon. I mean, you said NDA, my ears perked up, so I was kind of like, oh, okay. Sounds big, sounds official. That's awesome, man. And as I said before, I will definitely be linking in your channel because I highly recommend anyone go and check it out. It's just an amazing stuff that you do. So you've got all these projects going on, and, you know, obviously you've had a bit of time, you're working on Star Trek. Do you kind of make it a conscious habit to have little projects for yourself. So say when you've got lots of jobs on and you've got things coming in, which is great. Do you ever find that you give yourself the time to go and work on a little personal project just to kind of keep yourself fresh and make sure you're still enjoying what doing what you're doing?
Well, I think with having projects coming in and stuff like that, even if I know next to nothing about it, I try to find something to enjoy about it, and I try to find something that is exciting about it. If not the thing itself, a technical thing that goes into it, like doing something new, using a new piece of software, etc. I think just forgetting about what people think and doing something I enjoy, I think that is Star Trek. Because for me, like, I didn't see Star Wars until I was like 13. Growing up, I didn't wear out the VHS of Empire Strikes Back. I wore out the VHS of Wrath of Khan. That's why Star Trek's so close to me. Yeah, I don't know. On the rare occasion where I have absolutely nothing going on and I have no projects queued, I feel like I'm going to go insane. Because I'm just frantically scrambling to find the next thing.
Well, I mean, in a way, I suppose that's kind of good because it shows that you're at least hungry for it and you want to keep it going. The reason I ask is because I've listened to a few podcasts recently with artists, and it's something that strikes me is sometimes you can be a bit... It's weird, like it's the best job in the world doing what you love, but it can also be the worst job. I think sometimes people can easily fall out of love, if that makes any sense. So it's really cool to hear that you A, love what you're doing, and B, that you know, you've obviously very smart about how you do it. Like, I love what you said about looking at even just new technologies or new things that you can find, even if, like you said, you don't know anything. You get a job and you're like, well, I don't really know anything about this property, but here's a really cool patch I've just downloaded. I'm going to learn how to use this, and keeping it entertaining for yourself, at least. I think that's a really great outlook to have just on this kind of field.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I do like when I'm, like, diving deep into research on a thing, and I emerge with a newfound appreciation for whatever it is.
Okay. What's probably your favorite example of something like that, then?
Well, the thing I'm working on right now, probably, but...
We can't talk about that. That's okay. Yeah,
I don't know. I do remember when I was doing the Fantastic Beasts 8-bit trailer. I based it on Pokemon, and I wanted stats to show for the Pokemon, so I went to my library, got the actual Fantastic Beasts book, and looked up, like, the danger level of each creature and put it in the Pokemon stat.
That's amazing.
For Ready Player One, I actually read the entire book before doing the trailer, and that was, like, the fastest I ever read anything.
Oh, wow.
So it was cool to, like, include, like, little bits of text as, like, little computer code in the trailer itself, or, like, getting a detail, like a song to play at the end. That was fun.
Man, that's awesome. And, yeah, you got to read a novel out of it. And I'm assuming you liked the book then. It wasn't just a complete waste of time for you.
Well, it's at its best, it's a fun...
Yeah.
It's a fun scavenger hunt, and at its worst, it's a pop culture laundry list.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the impression I get from it. But no, that's really cool, man. That's absolutely amazing. So I appreciate you've obviously quite a busy guy, so I'll let you get going. But is there anything else you would like to sort of discuss about this topic? Anything that's close to your heart on it?
I don't think so. I have been thinking about like getting into more traditional, like, regular cartoons. I actually got a tablet recently, because, like, up to this point, it's all been with a mouse, not with a tablet. So I might be experimenting with that in the coming months, seeing what comes out of it.
Cool. All right. I like it. New techniques. We'll keep an eye out and see more about that. So speaking of, where can the good people find you and your work, John?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at StratmasterJ. I have a Ko-fi account, which is also StratmasterJ, if you want to throw me a couple bucks. I also have a Patreon, which is also Strapmaster J. If you just want to support me every time a video comes out. I make the sprites from a lot of the videos. I make them publicly available on my Patreon. So if that's something that you want to see, that's where to find them. And that's it.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I will be putting links into all of that for you. And there we have it. Thank you so much, John, for coming onto the show and talking to me about all things animation. Definitely go and check out his work. I've linked it all in the show notes of this podcast, from his channel to some of the big projects he's done, such as the Avengers, Infinity War, and Endgame videos for Mr. Sunday Movies that he mentioned in the show. Both of those well worth checking out. If you are enjoying the show, then please give us a follow on Instagram or Twitter. Both handles are @FundamentalsPod. I would love to hear from you. And if you're really enjoying the show, then definitely feel free to leave us a lovely 5-star review on your chosen app of choice and let me know, because it will, of course, earn you a shout out on the podcast. And that's it really from me. I'll be back again in a few weeks' time with a completely different guest on a completely different subject. So until then, stay tuned and stay safe.